This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Now, to show our gratitude, we're not going to be like the other guys and jerk you around and bullshit you. We're going to tell you the truth.
Shane Douglas is the man who ignites the new flame of the sport of professional wrestling. The era of the franchise. The era of the ECW.
Considered him the coward of the county. He had never stood one single time to prove the county wrong. His mama named him Tommy, but folks just called him
Place to Be Nation. Let's get extreme, because it is time for another episode of the Extreme 308 Dance, the most violent and orally pleasing menage a trois violence you'll ever encounter. I'm JT. Joining me as always, my partners in this threesome, is Jennifer Smith and John D'Amato. How are you both doing tonight?
Speaking of orally pleasing, mm-hmm. I'm glad that was a promise.
John, how are you?
I'm hanging in there like a twat hair on a biscuit.
Okay.
What the fuck?
Is that how the saying goes?
Yeah.
So this is our extreme offering.
I like that one better. So.
That's the Eastern version.
Yankee version.
Anyway, if you haven't listened before, I'm sorry. That was your introduction to the show. If you have, thanks for coming back. We are here working through the history of ECW, starting in February of 1994. We've been convalescing our way through, and we are currently in November 94 with our next big super show, November to Remember 1994. We've watched all the build. We've talked it up. We are ready to roll. And how have you guys felt about the build? Were you excited to throw this one on?
I was.
Yeah. Was looking forward to it.
Okay. Was there anything in particular you were looking forward to? Everything? Was there a certain match? Moment?
Cactus yeah. Jack and Mikey. Mm-hmm. And Cairo.
No, yes. The Cairo Dreamer Fuckfest. I'm all in on that. That's like my main event.
Okay.
Freaking Cairo has been awesome.
All right. Well, let's see what brings here tonight. The announcer, ring attendant, head to the ring. We get a rundown of the card. Then we get one of the event staff. It looked like, I guess, one of the event staff comes out to play and struggle while playing the national anthem on electric guitar. Man Mountain Rock, this was not, but they tried. 911 and Paulie dangerously head over and they stop him. And then Paul starts playing the guitar as 911 grabs the attendant / wannabe musician and chokeslams him to a big pop. Paul and 911 then head to the ring. They chase around the announcer. 911 grabs him by the throat, shoves him inside, and chokeslams him too. Paul says he always hated him as a fucking ring announcer. That gets a pop. Crowd then chants Paul Lee as Paul smacks the announcer with his phone. 911 chokeslams him again. He gets stretched out. And that's pretty much our cold open, which I thought was a fun way to start the show. I know you both aren't the biggest 911 fans, but I enjoyed this segment for what it was. What'd you guys think?
It was okay. I mean, the crowd was into it. But like, why? I mean, they weren't. What was the point of that guy was struggling on the guitar? Bless his little heart. Mm. And they just made fun of him and beat his ass.
It's extreme.
It was to fire up those Philly fucking fans. They were rabid. Paulie like was dropping F bombs left and right. And
yeah.
And they just 911 just gets them rabid, as horrible as he is. And the choke slams seem to be getting worse and worse. But then again, it's not really his fault, though, because he's trying to be safe, especially like mm-hmm. with like the ring announcers and these non like wrestlers. He's being overly, overly safe. So you
mm-hmm.
can't shit on him too much. But still, they're looking worse every time.
Can I ask why the guy has a sign that says, bring out the 5-year-olds? What does that mean?
I don't know if I would even know what that means.
What was the guy's name that did the tapes, Justin?
Let's Rob Feinstein? Or perhaps it was a former Principal Sheldon from Hendricken, where I went to high school. It could have been one of them. It's been right around the time I was there.
It's just a very odd sign to be front.
It must have been some inside joke, yeah. Okay. But yeah, so 911 does the 911 stuff. And I mean, it's most things that looking back, sure, we can criticize. But in the moment, those fans fucking love this guy to no end.
Yeah, that's true.
They are digging it. All right, we get to our opening match. JT Smith taking on Hack Myers. That's, some people call these guys jobbers, but Jenny, I know you defended both of them, which I enjoyed. Interesting mm-hmm. opener here. Hack is on the come up. JT's been MIA for a bit, actually. We haven't really seen him. And this is also a rematch back from June 14th, the TV episode that we watched. Basic start with Hack showing some power. JT uses his quickness, gets a nice fallaway slam, standing dropkick. Joey says Smith's been hitting the weights. Myers dodges a dropkick, unloads some rights and lefts to Shaw Chance. Hack drapes JT over the bottom rope, drops a leg, and bashes him in the head with a chair. Smith battles back and drops a chair elbow, and then things spill into the crowd. They head back over. JT smacks Hack with a chair as Joey says they're getting extreme and hardcore. Back inside, JT gets two on a crucifix. Hack gets one on a small package. JT pops up as a northerly suplex into a bridge for the win and some booze. Hack attacks JT after the bell. They brawl to the back. It was a solid opener that never really stopped chugging. They worked on some weapon stuff because they really are pushing, and Joey especially, about the extreme aspect of ECW now. Like, they're still working to get that over and identified mm-hmm. with this promotion. We're no longer Eastern. We're now Extreme. That's what the E stands for, and we're going to show it. So we get more weapons here in this match, and we get the discussion around what it means to be Extreme and all that. Hack is improving. JT needs some focus. But as far as, like, random openers that we always get in the show, these types of shows, I thought this was, you know, solid. I went star and 3/4. And it was interesting to me that JT got booed because I think the crowd is mm-hmm. really starting to take to Hack, Jenny.
Yep. It's Hack mania. They can't help themselves. Mm. But imagine booing JT Smith. I'm not down with that either. I don't know. It's weird. They were confused. What was up with Joey in this? Because it seemed, was he having audio issues or something? Because it seemed like he was laying out quite a bit. You know, yeah. Usually he's just a motor mouth and he's just all over everything. And I mean, he, towards the end, he picked it up, but it seemed like he was not super into this one.
It's possible they were having some issues. I don't know how much of this was done in post, mm-hmm. because usually these are like released as tapes. Like, this didn't air anywhere live. Right. So it may have made us have some issues. It may have just tried. I don't know. I have no idea.
It seems like throughout the show, there seems to be a bunch of technical issues. Right. Like, this was poorly put together, if you can believe that. But yeah, I did like the match. I gave it 2 stars. I think I liked when they brought in the crowd for a little bit because you don't normally see JT doing that too much or using chairs, which he did both of those things. Mm-hmm. And I liked his finisher, the way that he got the pin. So it was good stuff.
What'd you think, Johnny?
Yeah, a decent 2-star opener. I like how Hack gets his big move out the way, like in the first 30 seconds, that leg drop
mm-hmm.
on top of the head. He always gets in it early. Like Gorilla would say, he doesn't get paid by the hour.
Gets paid by the shot.
Yeah, and I also like how the crowd sometimes they don't exactly cheer who they're programmed to cheer for. Mm-hmm. They got behind Hack and. And that's all good. It mixes it up, and JT looked good. It looked mm-hmm. like he was on the 94 the keto diet, or I guess at that time it was the Atkins diet. He was.
I don't know. Was Atkins even out yet then? 94.
No, I don't know.
South Beach, I don't maybe. Know. I don't know what it was. The big diet in 94.
Yeah,
I was still eating carbs back then.
But yeah, good open. And I had that too, Jenny, in my notes about Joey all through the night. Like, usually I pick out, like, one good zinger that he mm-hmm. delivers, but he didn't have too many tonight. I don't know if he would change his style for the pay-per-view or for the special shows, but he didn't have too many. I missed his little zingers tonight.
Yeah, he was lacking, and that's sad. I mean, since we've had him back, he's been great, but kind of disappointed in him on the show.
So Atkins founded his products in 89, but it says 03-04 was the... the most popularity for the diet. There's a Wikipedia.
He died later. Yeah, he had like a heart attack. They found like a pork chop engulfed into his heart. All that.
There is a huge wiki page on diets. We'll have to go through someday to see what the one would have been big in 94, but not gonna do that now. So I'm enjoying Hacks you know, growing too. Like, you can tell he's been putting the work in. The crowd's getting behind him with the Shaw stuff. And the good thing about ECW is, like, when that stuff happens, they run with it. And I'm not saying he's a main event guy, but he's no longer, like, the low of the low. Like, he's a guy now that gets a reaction, and they embrace it and use it. That's one of the big positives of the CCW time frame with Paul running the show, was that they didn't waste opportunities when given to them with guys like this.
Yeah, that's why the fans felt such a part of the company as we go by. As they see the usuals in the front row with the straw hat guy and the other jamokes, they felt like a part of the company throughout this whole thing.
All right, next up is some tag team action. It's a Bad Breed, Ian and Axel Rotten take on our old friends, number one and number two, the Pitbulls. Are you excited to see the Pitbulls tonight?
I am. I was waiting for their theme music.
You can mix up every now and then.
Also, no, I'm not. But anyway, I never am.
Whatever. Hot and improved
Bad Breed.
Hot and improved Bad Breed, by the way. They are right? Kind of rolling lately. Looking a little bit trimmed down. This should be a violent one. The Pitbulls charge the ring. We waste no time pairing off, brawling in and outside. Bad Breed controls and battles until Pitbull 1 shoves Ian into the rail. Pitbull 2 buries Axel with a dropkick. Pitbull 1 uses a chair on Ian. Pitbull 2 controls Axel, grabbing a near fall. Ian misses on a leap off the apron, eats the guardrail as 2 shoots Axel to the other one. 1 gets a nice snap suplex on Ian as Axel beats up 2. This is like a fucking riddle reading these names. Beat up each other outside the ring. 1 hits a flying tack off the middle rope as things settle down. Both Pitbulls work over Ian, getting into quick tags and double team offense. Pitbull 2 is a nice second row powerbomb for the win. Axel comes in and cleans house, and the Bad Breed end up leaving the Pitbulls bloody, which I thought felt kind of counterproductive. But fun little sprint brawl. It was really a squash in many ways. Pitbulls dominated pretty much. I really thought it'd be a little bit even and longer. But this is a dominant win as the Pitbulls start to reassert themselves in the division that they've kind of been overlooked lately, John. What did you think of this one?
Yeah, just a squash. Pitbulls dominated the whole thing. Just a one-star squash. One of the regular fans in the front row had a Pitbulls taking a bite out of the competition sign. I don't know if that was not too creative. But then when the Rottens made sure to get the heat back with the chains, and they made sure to wear like the white gloves, so that blood really showed off on them. But the Pitbulls didn't exactly do a job hiding their blade job there. It was a little obvious.
They're
right in the middle of the ring. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I would have liked this a little bit more if I could see half of it, because the camera wouldn't move and follow anything that was going on.
It was pretty much a stationary camera.
Two guys would be in the ring doing the boring regular stuff, and then the other two would be off camera, and you could see the crowd reacting to them off camera. So, you know, kind of unfortunate. I gave it a star and 3/4, and that's strictly for the blood at the end. So perhaps could have been better had I seen more of it.
All right. Guys hate the Pitbulls. No, I don't get it.
Yep.
I just don't get it.
Pitbull 2 did look pretty trimmed, though. I will say that. Fireball.
All right. Well, I like them. I mean, you at least like the team better than the solo. Like, can we get on that?
I don't know. They don't ever talk, so yeah. I don't have that much of a connection, you know, besides the early days when sometimes Pitbull 1 would talk behind Jason. But, you know, maybe if they could talk a little bit, it would help.
All right. All right. Next match is an interesting one. Is Too Cold Scorpio takes on Mr. Hughes. Scuffling Scorpio. He's been struggling a little bit with all the Born Again stuff going on. Gets a big test. A little WCW flair on this one. Joey says Scorpio got tired of pretty boys like Marcus Bagwell dealing with politics, and here he is for a challenge. Hughes uses his power early on, shoving Scorp hard. Joey talks about what Hughes did to The Undertaker as he continues to stand tall here. Scorpio tries to throw fists, but Hughes dominates that battle. Then he hits a nice hip toss before kicking away. Scorpio hits a nice corner splash, but Hughes shrugs it off, levels him the clothesline. Hughes goes to a neck vice, but Scorpio uses the tie to bust that up. Hughes maintains control, eventually gets bumped to the floor where Scorpio meets him with a plancha. Hughes slugs him down, refusing to seize control. Back inside, Hughes hits a sidewalk slam and then drops a big elbow for two. Hughes eats boots on a charge. Scorpio scampers up and hits the 450 for the win and pop. And I was surprised at that finish and how clean it was. Hughes is pissed. He beats up Scorpio after the bell. Hughes shits on him on the mic, and then Scorpio recovers and gets a couple digs in, and they brawl to the back. I like this one. I thought Hughes looked great, like a monster. Any offense he ate, he just shrugged it off and then used his power arsenal, beating on Scorpio, keeping him on the mat. It was methodical. I didn't think it dragged, really. And Scorpio sneaking out the win because Hughes was complacent late in the match. It worked well. I thought that was a good story point. And it continues things on. Scorpio's been shaky lately. He's been struggling. He's kind of in his own head. But he's still good enough to pull out wins like this when he gets an opening. So 2 3/4. I dug this one a decent amount.
Wow. For Mr. Hughes.
Yeah. Well, I thought he worked his ass off in this one.
See, I was kind of torn on this one because, yeah, he's ginormous and powerful, and Joey does a good job of putting all that over. We've seen all that. I just kind of felt like Too Cold could have, just ran rings around him, used his agility more, used his speed more, because he pretty much got his ass beat for most of the match.
Yeah.
Hughes slung him around pretty good. So I was kind of hoping for a little bit more of the flippy offense from Too Cold, but I enjoyed Too Cold's sting-sized ass in his pants, and I ended up going 2.5 because it was pretty good. It's just kind of different.
Yeah.
Than
see, I'm all right with him not doing it, because the story lately has been that he's. He's got the mind games have been breaking him down a little bit. Like, he's hurting a little and everything else going on. So, I don't know. That's
true.
That part John, doesn't bother me as much.
No, I really like the psychology of this match. At first, how Hughes was dominating, and then Scorpio tried to go toe-to-toe with him. Mm-hmm. But then he had the switch when he was getting dominated. Then he had to bust out his big splashes and his Ja Rule drop kicks and et cetera. and that was how he had to pull out the win. Like he tried to go toe to toe at the beginning, but Hughes was just too big. So he had to go to his signature moves to pull it out. And then it was good. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably the best Hughes match we've seen
for sure
to this point. I know that Belomo banger back in February that we saw like 3 times, but I thought he looked good. They worked well together, and I'm enjoying, as much as the Scorpio we've talked about kind of his promos being weak, I like the way they've evolved him, because he came in and he was like this high flyer with a lot of cred from WCW, but they're actually telling like a pretty unique story with him, which I've enjoyed. Mm-hmm. How, everything they've gotten in his head with Born Again and Douglas and all this stuff, and he's struggling to find his confidence again, and he's going through one of Douglas's heavies here in Hughes. So like all that stuff I thought has been really well done, and they're giving him some nice depth instead of just running him out there. Again, the positive for the CCW time frame.
He gets more time throughout the show as well.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Yep. And he got his little mic time at the end when he grabbed the mic and called the Hughes Mr. Shoeshine Boy. And he said, "You just got hit with a disc that don't miss. Whoop, there it is." Got his catchphrase in.
And that wasn't bad. It's his ones in the back that I still bug me.
Yeah, no, as long as he keeps it short, man.
Yeah. Or he's going to fill like 90 seconds or something. He struggles.
Forget it. Yeah. When he's got to improvise, but that's.
Yeah, he struggles big time there. All right. The match of Johnny's dreams.
Yeah.
Up next.
Oh my god.
Fire up the overture, because it is time for the Battle of the Tommies.
That is pretty amazing. That's good DJ work right there. Kudos.
Also a Samuel the Giant's theme song in WCF. All right. I'm digging this Tommy Cairo gimmick. He's like a guy in an Italian restaurant who goes there regularly, and he's kind of the fake tough guy. Where's my breadsticks? He's got the Guido look going on. Like, just what you'd expect from a guy in Jersey going to his local, Italian hole in the wall, but just holding court there every Friday night at the bar. So he comes out with a kendo stick, and he's just being a prick. Dreamer's pissed off. He comes out, he's seething. Dreamer goes right at Cairo, unloads a flurry, but Cairo hangs in, gets a few shots of his own, and then a spin kick to knock him outside. He hits another one. Tommy comes back thanks to a chair, and that hits a tight, delayed pile driver back in the ring. Tommy chucks Cairo back outside, uses a frying pan, and then a canoe paddle from fans. Cairo shoots Tommy into the crowd, beats on him out there, and then again in the aisle with the help of a wood pallet. They end up back inside where Tommy snaps off a neck breaker, then chokes Cairo with a shirt, uses it for a second neck breaker. Cairo battles back with a scoop pancake and then mimics Blind Sandman, which is awesome. Kind of just like hobbling around. Dreamer blocks a cane shot and then smashes Cairo twice with it, knock him outside. Tommy keeps smashing him with it outside, splitting Cairo's head open. Back inside, the cane shots continue, including a big one to the nuts. Joey talks about Dreamer's huge transformation over the past year from a goody-goody into this hardcore wrestler with a killer instinct. The ref finally just calls to the bell because Cairo is out cold, and Tommy, Dreamer, does not relent. He just keeps battering him with the cane, and Cairo eventually fights off a stretcher and staggers off. This is a really good, brutal grudge match, heavy offense, some good weapon shots, and Dreamer just losing it day by day over, you know, perceived guilt for what he did to the Sandman. Is a really good story that's been, you know, told here over the last few weeks. And Cairo, for a guy that was left for dead a month ago, has shifted so well into this asshole, you know, Greedo mode that we just mentioned, rejuvenated, and it leads to a good effort here. Like, we've always talked well of him in the ring. Remember, he's always been, like, throwing these crazy, like, Harley Race throwback big bumps and crazy spots out of nowhere. And now he's actually got the character and some meat to go behind it. And that's carrying him. So he's definitely been a welcome addition back to the show. So I went 2 3/4, Johnny.
Ah, yes, it lived up to the hype. A 3-star spectacle fuckfest. Just Cairo, just what an idiot. The simplest stupid thing, just walking to the ring with the cane in his eye, like, oh my eye. And then he finds a fan hands him his glasses, and he puts on the glasses and pretends to be blind. Just such a beautiful idiot. Tremendous. And then Dreamer uses the fans' frying pan and hits Cairo in the head like twice, and Cairo just shakes it off. And Cairo manages to get his spin kicks in. That's like his one big move that looks good, pretty athletic for a juice head. And he gets a couple of those in.
And the spin and kicks then, and the senton is this other big one.
He makes sure to get those in. And he doesn't have too many, but he makes sure. And then when Dreamer took over and Dreamer hit that cane shot in the yambag, Joey gave like an oh my god! It's Joey's like pretending like he got hit, and he was imagining him getting hit in the balls. So that was another highlight, but tremendous overall. And then Joey said he doesn't know who he feels sorry for: Cairo stretched out or Dreamer. Just a tremendous. And then they tried to take him out, but then Cairo just wakes up and staggers out all bloody.
This is so beautiful. 3-star fuck fest. I like that. That's the name of it. I loved him walking out with all that swagger and that cane. That was eating it up. She was hilarious. He had this grin on his face with his tooth missing. Just so wonderful. Oh my god.
He's definitely the guy that Ronnie runs into on the boardwalk and gets to do a fight with.
And flip flops. Yeah.
With Sammy.
It was dirty too. Like, I mean, they were beating the shit out of each other. Those frying pan shots and the wood pallet. They each got a good shot in that way. That was pretty badass. We could actually see most of their brawl when they got in the crowd for a little minute, so that was good. We missed that on one of the other matches, but I love this. And that shot to the nuts was horrific. Like, awful. Like, it hurt me. It hurt me. Not Joey.
He's gonna need a big peaches massage.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
It was good. I mean, yeah. Cairo is the perfect guy to bring back and insert, like, to kill time in this feud, because we had to get to the story. You know, we had to evolve with Sandman. So we had to do something with Tommy Dreamer in between all this. And Cairo was so embedded with Sandman, he was like the perfect person to bring in here and involve and let Tommy Dreamer just deal with him for a month to get us to the next step. So luckily Cairo doesn't, you know, he sticks around too, so that's good. He's not heading back to the garden just yet, but I'm glad it lived up to the hype. We were all pumped about it, so it was good to see it pay off.
Yes sir.
All right, fire up that tomahawk chop for the Seminole.
Oh my god.
Ron Simmons. Straight out of Florida State, taking on our ECW champion, Shane Douglas. And interesting, this is mid-show. I know we've got big things ahead, but always interesting with the world champions in the middle. And I thought it was a good use of Simmons to come in. You know, we've talked about the way Douglas is presenting himself, how he wants to take on challengers from all over the world. They're trying to establish ECW as a world title now, a level promotion. And we're building cred for the franchise. And the WCW pipeline continues. Either guys that are still with WCW or guys that have left coming in here. So there's a big flow from Atlanta to Philly at this point in ECW. Simmons cuts an anti-ECW promo, and then Douglas gets a good little pop for his entrance. He starts off hot with a clothesline. Simmons chucks him off and resets. Simmons takes over with his power, lays in some heavy headbutts, but Shane gets two on a roll-up and then bails. Joey talks up how Flair, Hogan, Bret Hart, Smoky Mountain, USWA, New Japan, All Japan, they've all ignored Shane Douglas's challenges, but Ron Simmons is here to accept it. Shane grabs a female photographer, uses her as a shield, but that doesn't slow down Simmons, who just goes right at it anyway. Beats on Douglas on the floor. Back inside, Simmons pours it on, hits a power slam and a gut buster, follows with more impact offense. The crowd chants for 911 as Simmons keeps mowing through the champ. Simmons shoots Douglas in, but twists into a crucifix and gets the flash pin for the win. So Douglas retains. Simmons beats up Shane after, but Shane smacks him with the title. Scorpio comes in. That's Simmons' old buddy from WCW, makes a save. Simmons awkwardly didn't really sell the belt shot, just kind of stood there. Simmons and Scorpio beat down Douglas, and it's kind of confusing line blurring for all three. Like, Shane is kind of a heel, but Simmons and Scorpio are acting heelish. And then Joey says Shane burned all his bridges, so no one's helping him. But then Cactus Jack comes out. He teases helping Shane and then walks away. So there's a lot of confusion here at the end of this one. And I thought the match was kind of disappointing. Simmons looked plodding and awkward. It just seemed a little bit out of it. And if they were trying to show Shane as a dominant champion, this didn't really help, as he pretty much got his ass kicked and then just got a lucky pin. Technically, it was fine. Just never really got in gear or found much of a rhythm. And the post-match was confusing. So Jenny went 2 stars. I was a little disappointed in this. I was hoping for more. And it started hot, too, so I was kind of excited out of the gate.
Yeah, I was generous with my 2 stars, too, because this is the kind of bullshit I've been talking about with Shane. Like, he talks all this, like, grandiose shit, and then he pulls this in the ring, like, running away, stalling, putting lady photographers in. I mean, like, come on. Are you going to fight or are you not going to fight? You've challenged all these people. What are you doing? So it just looks confusing and weird to me. I don't like it. I get it if he's going somewhere with this, and I'm going to go with him, but I'm just like, you got a wrestler there. How about you fight him? You know? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it is a weird dichotomy because he does talk so much bravado.
Yeah.
And he's beating guys, but yes, they do present him at times as this bit of a chicken shit, right? Yeah, he should have went more toe-to-toe with Simmons. And the fact that they gave him, like, no offense before the pin, because it's kind of productive on both ends, right? Shane doesn't look strong at all. And if you're queuing up for just
to win.
Well, and even beyond that, though, if you're queuing up for a Simmons rematch, which sometimes you get, you know, if a guy dominates and then gets screwed. But Simmons didn't get really get screwed, though. Too bad. Right? I mean, he didn't really, I don't know. He didn't, like, really cheat, right? He just kind of.
Well.
Yeah, I guess. But
usually, for champion, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but not really. He just, that was after the, right? He hit him after, didn't he?
Yeah, I guess so. And like you said, he didn't really sell it anyway, so.
No, he pinned him clean. So it's like.
Yeah.
So he pinned him clean. So why would Simmons get a rematch in theory? Besides the fact he dominated, but he lost clean. So, like, if you're going to have him dominate Douglas, have Douglas win by count out or DQ or, like, you know, John, like we go with the MSG stuff, right? When you're set up the next month, you get the shitty finish to tease that, to give a reason for Simmons to get another match. Right now, they didn't really give us that here, besides the fact that he dominated, but then he still lost clean. So, okay, well, what gripe does he have to get another match? That was my
point. And what was Joey talking about where he doesn't have any friends? Like,
Douglas?
Hughes has been his, you know. Right.
Born.
You know? So it's like, what? I was very confused with that as well.
But see, this is where some of the stuff. I'm sorry, Joe, just one last point. This is where some of the stuff that we don't see or is in tune to hurts, too, because, I mean, Born, we know Hughes is still there because we just saw him. We don't see Born tonight, and maybe he's gone. Like, and we don't even know. Like, he's got, and all you get is Joey Shoot comments to let us know if guys are there or not. So that might have been his way of saying, like, Douglas is alienated his friends while Born left. You know, like that. That's kind of almost his way sometimes. We don't get all that all the time for this, but looking ahead, I don't know if we see Born again. So, no pun intended. I mean, that might have been it for him. So that might be what Joey's talking about here. You know.
So just a drop angle, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was obviously booking issues because, you know, with the Scorpio run and it's just a long way just to set up a tag for the next big show.
Don't get me started on that tag.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is with the Scorpio and Simmons versus Shane and the partner. And Joey kind of sets him up as a loner that he has no friends. And Simmons set it up from the beginning, you know, running down the Philly fans that he was going to be the heel. So it's a little confusing if you want to look at it through the traditional the face heel, like who's who. And also, the fans are getting behind Shane. Shane's running down a Flair with the Flair is dead chance. And it's ironic that today Flair is still alive, and probably 99% of that Philly crowd is probably 6 feet under. So.
I was excited for Simmons here. I really thought he was someone that could come in, and we've seen guys before, like a little Wash, come in and have a run. So I definitely was disappointed, not only in the way the match went. Ends up being short. Like, this screen, if you were going to do a short match in the middle of the show that was going to continue the feud, like, this screamed, all right, 5-minute wild brawl that, like, ends with them fighting to the back, or like the locker room empties to keep them apart. Like, that's what this was asking for. That's what we needed here, and we just didn't get it. So we'll see if Simmons picks it up going forward, but for now, that's kind of where we're at. So any other thoughts on this one?
Nah, it was just probably a booking conflict where they, to get Simmons in, they'll say, we'll let you dominate the match, but you just gotta take the fluke pin.
That does make sense.
Yeah. All right. Before we continue on, and we got a big segment next, let's just talk really quick about what's going on over on the PTN Wrestling Competition that we're listening to right now. In episode 142 of the main event, Scott, Nate, and Steve have previewed TakeOver Portland and also brought you another installment of the New Japan Classic Match Pick. Speaking of NXT Portland, we had a lot of coverage. Two reaction shows. One, Jenny, that you and I were on, and Tim Cable and Jake Williams, which was a little heated time. It was a lot of fun breaking down the show. Another one with, of course, Chris Delma and Devin Hales, as we do every month as well. So check both of those out. Also, I was on a brand new No Hook Bar. Aaron and I were back ranking every February pay-per-view in WWE history on the newest List of Mania edition of our program. In a Pizza Man Wrestling special, Scott continues and finishes the reveal of the GWWE match list 15-1. Scott was also with Dr. G on an NWA Power Pod Blast, looking at the weekly reviews, continuing with episode 18. Row 1, Seat 1, number 34, Ben Zani welcomes in guests Mouse and Mikey to talk parenting, the wrestling, and Collective 2020 in Tampa. Now, Ben is very involved in the podcast for most of the show. So, if you want to meet Ben, you can head over to those shows in Tampa, or you can come to Tampa. On the new Place to Be podcast, myself and Scott C. Bennett looked at the April 1990 MC House Show. And also check out the PTV and Pop Beat, littered with great content from those shows, including the Hard Travel Fanboys celebrated their 200th and potentially final episode this week. Nick and Greg reminisce on their time doing the show, which is... they haven't missed a week, right, Jenny? Have they gone every week?
Oh. Every week for 200 episodes.
See, every week, and that's like basically, shy of 4 years. So,
yeah.
Congrats to them. That's a hell of an accomplishment. Hopefully they'll be back. They'll still be around for other shows here. PTBN is putting out on a hiatus. But check it out. It's a momentous show, and well into kudos to a lot of the people pushing it. Additionally on the feed, our show...
I highly recommend those reaction shows. Listen to them both. Some great different opinions on the NXT TakeOver. Good job.
Well, what did you think about TakeOver? Was it a 10 out of 10?
No, definitely not. Definitely not perfect. I kind of lean towards Mr. Rosario. But slow your rolls. Also, on the other show, Dylan was...
Devin.
Devin, I'm sorry. Was about 10 times... more irate about the main event than you were, so maybe not quite extreme. You really went extreme as far as I'm not.
I was just Eastern. You was extreme. Yeah, it was. Listen to me rant about it.
Yeah. Let's table it.
All right. Also on the pod feed, the Glenn Butler podcast hour spectacular, the Aaron Pop Laugh Theater, DC4U, the Great Debate, Marvel Age, and the Butler Sister Rewatch podcast, plus so much more. So subscribe today, and while you're there, subscribe to Jenny your feed, the Jenny Position. Want to talk about that?
My feed is called The Jenny Position. You can find it on all your podcatcher apps, where you can hear Geek and Sassy, Freak Out Drive-In, Talking Pop, journey through infinity, and whatever the hell else I make.
A new journey through infinity should be coming out soon, right?
We have Captain America. Yeah, next week on Monday.
Very good. Check it out.
Freak Out Driving. I heard you had a hot guest recently.
I did have a hot guest.
Physically hot or just like hot takes?
Both.
Too generous. More like hot cakes. More like hot.
Yes, that will be coming out in maybe about 2 more weeks.
All right. So subscribe so you don't miss these great shows.
Exactly.
On our social media pages, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is winding down. Be sure to like the page on Facebook, follow on Twitter. Don't share too far or wide, but share it to your friends and family and vote on every entry. Don't miss a single one. We're in the final four, correct?
I believe so.
All right, so why don't we just talk about that for a minute? Because this will be the last time we discuss this here. Or ever, maybe.
Oh, no. Was that on Twitter?
Well, there were no polls today.
Okay, I didn't think so.
No, I think...
Just double-checking that.
I think maybe tomorrow. I'm not sure what the madman Atherton has planned.
Yes, please draw it out.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Final Four is was posted.
Oh, was it? Oh,
okay. It was yesterday.
Okay.
And so the Final Four is Frasier versus The Office and All in the Family versus The Simpsons. So I think those are obvious outcomes there for both of those.
I believe so, yes.
And that'll bring us a final, most likely, of The Simpsons versus The Office. About 3 weeks ago on Wrestling Warzone, Chad and I had pegged. I realized it was like an epiphany hit me that The Simpsons was going to win this thing, and I'm going to stand by that. I do think. I thought Cheers maybe had a fighting chance, but The Simpsons just kind of. It just hits like every box for a lot of the demographic that votes on this tournament. I'm not going to say it's an unworthy champion. I don't know if it would have been my choice necessarily, but I don't really have any qualms about it if that's what wins. The only qualm you could make is if anyone wants to argue that animated show shouldn't have been included in this, which I do think is, you know, a fair gripe if you have it. But I really haven't seen anyone go that path. So anyway.
Imagine somebody complaining about our tournament. I mean, I can't imagine such a thing.
No.
It's unheard of.
Johnny, any thoughts?
Congrats on getting the I Called It award.
Well, the
MC award.
It was a sad one though because they beat Seinfeld when I realized it.
Yeah, that's very sad. Nah, it's good that good surprises.
Yeah,
your favorites can't win all the time, and then what are we here for? You know?
Yeah, unless you want to force everyone to vote for them in particular.
Right. Well, I'm gonna vote for The Office, but it's gonna lose because people will hate vote against The Office.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's the biggest issue in the final right now is going to be there's going to be more hate votes than like votes, I think, in this one.
Yeah.
So that's why.
No, I'm pleasantly surprised that All in the Family made it that far for an old fuck.
Yeah, but it was in an old fuck bracket though. That's why. Like, I don't like it never region. Beat anything after like made after 1970.
The old fuck region.
Right. I mean, I don't think it made it. I don't think it. I don't think it. Be anything outside of its era. So, slow your roll. We officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determine the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do your research for what matches, build your list, conversation rules at facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Both of those threads have been hopping red hot with discussion about this project, so get in. For anyone interested in joining, easy for me to say, our 2020 wrestling pay-per-view pick'em pool, reach out to us on social media. It's not too late to buy in and compete for that prize. That's the ultimate, I called it, award. Brian Bayless owns it for now. Be sure not to forget to check out PlayStation.com each and every day. We have new voices, fresh takes, bring you articles and topics of worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, The Week in OD by John Crow, Polly's Perspective, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. Don't forget veteran columns as well, like Glenn Butler's weekly walk around the web. If you're doing online shopping at Amazon, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the PlayStation homepage or use PlayStation.com/Amazon. It takes you right there. Do some shopping with no additional cost to you. So with that all said, both you, are you ready for what I would argue has probably been the biggest selling point for this show?
Yes.
Yeah, the main event.
Thank you. Bobby Ortiz gives a hearty welcome to Sandman, who comes out in a suit. His eyes are taped and sunglasses on, using a cane. He looks like Ralphie in Christmas Story when he's blind by the fucking soap. He's escorted by Todd Gordon. Gordon takes the mic and puts over Sandman as the epitome of ECW. Calls him his best friend. They hug as Joey gets choked up. He asks the fans to give him a fond farewell, and we get a mixed reaction as Joey's really playing it up. Sandman thanks the fans. He says he'd never thought he'd be retiring at age 31. Talks about what Tommy Cairo and Tommy Dreamer did. Says he wouldn't change a thing. What he did to Tommy Cairo and Tommy Dreamer. He was willing to be the flag bearer for Extreme, but now he lost his career, his eyesight, his manager, and his broad. He tells Nancy Sullivan to kiss his ass, and of course that's woman. He lost his broad because of Nancy. She was a black widow that tangled him in her web. He says he ate peaches to the pit, which Cairo couldn't imagine accomplishing what he did with her. Peaches comes out and says, Peaches. Poor Peaches. Everyone just talks about eating her pussy, and like that's it. Like nothing. She's like, that's all she is to these people. Like she's nothing else beyond this. Just a vagina for them to munch on. So Peaches comes to the ring. He says she doesn't know if she should slap or kiss him, and she decides to smooch him. She says she's changed. She nods toward her enhanced tits. Sandman says he doesn't care how fat she's gotten, but she's the most important thing he lost. So good. Woman comes out. She's looking hachi-machi. She hits the ring. Yep. She says she's seen enough. It's time to introduce everyone to her new wrestler that she teased. Peaches says she's a bitch, so Woman just canes her. Todd Gordon tells Woman to leave, but Sandman accidentally knocks Gordon down. Woman teases caning Sandman, but out comes Tommy Dreamer for the save. Dreamer tells her to leave, and then Sandman rips off the glasses, rips off the bandage, and canes Tommy hard in the back of the head, wrecking him with the cane while Woman rants. Woman officially announces that Sandman is the wrestler she'll manage from now on. Gordon, Tommy, and Peaches are all writhing as collateral damage from this tremendous angle, which was really well done. Push through it quick enough, too, to make it effective and not overdone. We didn't get months of Sandman retiring. You know, we moved through it within a month. Woman and Sandman rule. This gets him over such douchebags and gets good sympathy for Tommy as he continues to really build cred with the fans. So I really dug this. It's been a great angle, a great feud. Everything was executed well. My only negative was what I talked about last week, that it all felt a little heavy-handed with all of a sudden how much they love Sandman. Like, sometimes Todd Gordon is best friend, and like Joey's all broken up. Like, they hated this fucking guy 4 weeks ago, you know.
Joey crying in the eagle's nest, you know.
Like, so all that was like a little much, but it was so it was so good. They really did it so well, from Peaches down to Woman to everything they had going on there. The only thing we needed that we didn't get was Cairo coming out in this mess too.
Yes,
but Jenny, I thought this definitely lived up to the build and the payoff. So talk about that, but also tell me, since you've never seen this, I mean, were you surprised or did you see this coming?
Well, I don't know. I think I wanted to. I obviously, I knew he wasn't going to retire, but I thought they might drag it out a little bit more, like you said. But when Peaches came out, I lost it. Like, I was gone. I was howling with laughter. I wanted to ask you guys, does she still look like a Philly Four with her new tits or whatever? For her situation
now, she's just a Philly Four that works at a strip club, that's all.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, she was barely keeping the girls in there, and
that was such
and
a
then
great
when
subtle
it,
moment like when you know I have a new woman, and of course she basically shows her tits, but Sandman in theory is blind, so he just assumes she got fat.
Yes, I love it. It was wonderful. And that awful suit Sandman's wearing, oh my god. Everything is just beautiful about this. Woman looking badass. She beat the shit out of Peaches. She beat the shit out of everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when he ripped the glasses off, I was just howling. Like, it was amazing. Perfectly timed. And everybody pulled off all their roles. And even Todd Gordon, you know, just randomly in there. I loved it so much. I was so happy. 10 out of 10.
Definitely. What? I couldn't even call a color for that that suit that that Sandman was wearing. I guess it was like olive. I want to say green. I would go with olive. Yeah. That was a little rough one. Yeah. And that was just ridiculous, the way his eyes were bandaged.
Yes.
It was just so over the top ridiculous. But to answer your Peaches, you know, she dresses all right, man.
I mean, her body's nice in this.
Yeah.
Which way are you swiping on her, Johnny?
We would describe the uniform as all right, but the helmet has definitely got some scratches. The helmet's got some scratches on it, but I'm not a good barometer of that. You pretty much got to be have a heartbeat to get the right swipe. But yeah, the package is okay, but yeah, the helmet is beyond the repair. You can't do much about that.
Just put a paper bag over it. Turn her around.
Yeah, put a peach basket on her.
And on the other hand, woman, my God,
I know,
the legs,
right?
The legs, Jesus, I don't know, I don't know what her workout regime was, but definitely leg work was nice, and I liked the Sandman taking off the belt to a suit, and giving Dreamer that whipping, and that's got to be that's already locked in the moment of the like when he says I don't care how fat you got peaches. that's the
he
killer
still loves
that's the killer
peaches.
For me. Tremendous.
They definitely got that at Goodwill, like on the way to the arena for him. I was like, all right, here you go.
Yeah. What a suit.
But he really did look like Ralph. I mean, just with the over the top glasses and the cane, like just it was like a kid playing blind, basically.
Yeah.
Well, this was great. I mean, one of the best angles for sure that we've seen since we have been doing the CCW stuff. So, exciting stuff there. We head inside the nest where Joey's with Shane Douglas for a chat. Ribs are taped up. He has a giant phone with him. And he calls out Terry Bollea, that piece of shit Hulk Hogan, old piece of crap Social Security recipient. A year ago, he came to ECW, said he'd be world champion. And today, thanks to hard work and a beautiful woman and sensational Sherry, he's the man who brags on being – he beat the man who brags on being the first black world champion. That didn't mean shit to him. Scorpio got involved where he didn't belong. He already beat him clean, too. And he's got Sherry on the phone. Talks all sweet to her, reminds her of them being together a year ago. Shane says that Sherry told him a visit would be good so she could be with her man again. And on November 19th, he found someone worthy to stand side by side with him. It's not Bret Hart. It's not Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, or Sting. He's closing in on his pro wrestling reconstruction, pushing through guys like Bob Dew and Hulk Hogan. And his partner on November 19th will be Stunning Steve Austin. And Sensational Sherry will be in their corner against Scorpio and Simmons. This is good, as always. Really blurring the lines, feeling real while getting everything over. And it looks like Steve Austin may be heading in here for this match. So I also love like that Douglas is so hung up on Sherry. He's definitely like Stifler's mom for him. You know, it's just like this cougar that like made him a man and now he just can't get past it. He's just stuck on it, hung up on it because he constantly mentions her. He shits on everybody but her, you know what I mean? Just can't give it up. But what do you think of this, John?
Terry Bollea. and the shit Hogan. It seemed like he was just running out of insults. And then he calls Sherry on that on the 1994 cell phone. The big white joint. Yeah.
Did you have one of those? Wouldn't use our first cell phone, John?
No.
I thought it was just a handheld, like a cordless
I think
landline
so.
Phone.
Did they actually have cellular phones? Like, I think they had like cordless phones.
Only want that one.
Yeah, they just called them car phones.
Though. Yeah, they had car phones. Yeah,
a bag phone.
Yeah.
But a lot of car phones early on had the cord too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think my first one, I want to say, it was 97, and it was a pretty big one. Had the huge battery pack, and you didn't leave it on. Mm-hmm. You just had it, and then it was like for emergency only. So if you needed it, you know, you'd turn it on and make a call. I think I used it maybe a couple of times, but just sat in my glove box.
So, all right, y'all know how I've been feeling about Shane's promos. Mm-hmm. In this one, I started thinking maybe he's doing this weird thing where he's delusional, like maybe he thinks that he's talking to Sherry on the phone and he thinks he's going to be tagging with, you know, Steve Austin. Like he's finally snapped or something. I don't know. Maybe I went a little far on that.
Yeah. I think you're projecting.
But maybe that's what I want to happen just because I don't particularly like any of this, the way that he's doing it. So I'm trying to give it some more dimension or I don't know. Fantasy booking over here, but, like I said, he does what he does well. I mean, he's funny when he shits on everybody, but I just, like, if you can't wrestle when Ron Simmons comes to wrestle you, then why the fuck are you calling out everybody else to come wrestle? I don't know. It's whatever. We'll see.
It's almost like he's doing it, like, he's the proxy for ECW. You know what I mean? So, like, he's doing it for himself, but he's also doing it to help establish ECW as the, no pun intended, place to be. So, like, that's, they're trying so hard to make ECW be on par with everyone else. Like, this is where, you know, this is a real promotion. This is a world title. People are afraid to come here because of the environment. So, like, they're trying to rally, and I think we both say the same thing every week, but, you know, they're trying to rally the fans and the concept around this, and I think he's just the voice of that, right? He's the guy, in theory, that has the cred and the willingness to go out there and to say what the fuck he wants and call these guys out and not give a shit about it. Like, I think that's all it really is.
That's fine, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, you don't have to like it. I just think that's what it is, you know?
Yeah, it's fine.
Any disagreement there by you, John, or do you think?
It is kind of shady when you know that they can't really answer him back, or yeah. they're not even going to go down to his level. So
that kind of proves their point in a way, right? That, like,
it's kind of one-sided. Yeah.
No, it makes him look like a dumbass. It doesn't make him look cool.
But they could react. They just don't want to because they're not.
Well, so when he gets the challenger, then he fucks it up and he doesn't. You know, beat his ass the way he's supposed to. So, like, why am I going to believe anything about you?
But to the point, like, I think that the fact that they can't answer is what the whole point of this thing is. Like, that's what ECW is getting across. Now, we're not like them. We're opening up. We're willing to talk about the rest of the wrestling world. We're putting them on notice. Dirty AF and WCW too pussy to recognize us or discuss anything outside their bubble. Like, I think that's why that's what they're aiming for. Like,
Yeah, they're aiming for that. It's just not hitting for me.
All right. Well, I look forward to Eric Heels tagging Shane Douglas and telling him that you're shitting all over him again.
Me too. Yeah.
The great Dean Malenko has his TV title around his waist. Joey says the belt is on the line here, which is interesting because I don't remember him being champion, but he's announced as the current champ. A lot of good build and hype in this one. Should be a fun battle with him. Versus...
What do we miss? What do we miss?
The TV title
is now on Dean Malenko's waist and not Jason's.
Yeah, Jason pulled a fast one.
We'll see. I think we'll find out on TV, but we don't really get much of an explanation here. Tasmaniac is his opponent, challenging. A lot of good hype and builds for this, which has been fun. And it should be a fun battle between these guys. We start with a wild lockup that takes them all around the ring to battle for position. Taz snaps off the first suplex of the match for two. Malenko comes back with a double underhook suplex and twists into a Boston Crab. Taz powers out, drives Malenko to the floor. Taz chucks Malenko around the ring, hitting a nice T-bone as the crowd barks in support. Taz eats a boot on a charge, and then Malenko gets two on a victory roll. Taz counters a second victory roll with a released German that sends Dean onto his stomach. Taz eats a spin kick on a charge, but he pops up and catches Dean on the top rope. Dean blocks a super Tazplex and jumps down to shove Taz outside. Dean follows, and they trade blows outside until Taz smacks him with a chair. Jason gets involved as Joey makes a Lloyd's of London joke, which I laughed at. Taz stalks Jason as Dean grabs some sort of towel. Taz comes in and Jason ties up the ref as Dean smothers Taz with the towel and covers him for the win when the ref turns around, and the crowd did not like that finish at all. Mm-mm. Taz wakes up after being choked out. He murders the referee and storms away. Solid work. All the suplexes and counters that you would expect from these two. Taz is presented as such a beast. I mean, he delivers on it. Like, he is just presented as this guy that's going to come out there and wreck shit and not stop. Malenko is so smooth. And I was fine with the fuck finish just to keep things moving along. I mean, if Malenko is our new TV champion, you can't have him lose right away, or you don't want to. And at least this protects Taz while also putting him over because they needed chemicals, basically, to knock him out. So I went 2.5, John. It was a good, but I would hope maybe great for them someday if we get there. But I enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah, the crowd definitely, with the audible bullshit chants, they weren't into the finish. And then the ref doing the stupid motioning that he smelled something after he counted the pin. And Joey's like, yeah, I smell chloroform. And, just to get it over and make it obvious. I wonder how Joey knows what chloroform smells like.
I thought that exact same thing.
Well, maybe he was at WrestleMania 9 when The Undertaker and Giant Gonzalez, so he remembered when it smelled.
He must have used that line, does this napkin smell like chloroform, to his dates? The whole past,
he
Justin,
smelled it all the way
that?
Up to the new eagle's nest.
Yeah, that's that movie's so underrated. That was on my short list when I did Laugh in Theater with Andy, was Hall Pass. I might have to go on a second time just to do that one. I feel like it doesn't get talked about enough for as awesome as it is.
Definitely. The Law and Order was amazing.
Yeah, that was really good.
Okay, Jenny.
No, same as you guys. I'm always excited to see Taz, and I think he and Dean are pretty well matched. So it was a good match. I liked it. I gave it 2.25 stars, and Jason sucks. That's all.
I mean, God, we just saw him, you know, banging that belt on his lush rug, and now.
Mm-hmm. I know. What happened?
Yeah, it's sad.
Maybe they're having a threesome.
Maybe. You think Dean walked in on him and that was his way to get him to keep quiet?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you could bang the belt for a little bit and give her back. That belt sluts, what I heard, anyway.
Yeah.
He was fucking in black and white. Leon.
Big tag team title rematch. Brawl Game Rules in place as the Public Enemy take on Mikey Whipwreck and Cactus Jack. Joey takes a shit on the Major League Baseball owners, calling them greedy, and the players, as well as Public Enemy dance around. Joey calls the champions ECW's Odd Couple as they amble out. Big pop for them. Public Enemy shit on the crowd, and then after a bunch of stalling and walking around, they tease to leave. We finally get going. Rocco batters Mikey to get us started, swatting off attempts of a comeback. Public Enemy work together to lay the wood, trying to get Mikey to stay down for 10 so they can earn the bats. Mikey keeps fighting and gets hammered on. Cactus cleans house and makes a save. He uses Mikey as a projectile weapon. Cactus hits a double clothesline, then dumps Mikey onto the backs of Public Enemy to drive him to the mat. Public Enemy cut Mikey down with a double clothesline. They go low on Jack, and Grunge knocks him to the floor with a Cactus clothesline. Grunge crotches Jack on the rail, heads back in. He and Rock go back in on Mikey. Public Enemy hit the drive-by, and Mikey barely beats the count in as Cactus comes in and cleans house with the chair. Cactus DDTs Rock on the chair, but he gets up at 9. Cactus then does the same to Grunge, and he survives barely as well. Grunge chucks powder in Jack's eyes, and Public Enemy pummel him until Mikey makes a save. But Blind Cactus accidentally DDTs Mikey, and he doesn't beat the count, and Public Enemy is given the bats. They grab the bats, get right to work on both men, laying in some stiff shots with them. They end up back by the Eagle's Nest, where Rock stacks tables and puts Mikey on them. Rocco hits the nest, but before he can jump, out comes Sabu. He gets in his face. That's followed by 911 and Paul E. Sabu shoves Rocco off the nest. He goes flying through the tables and hard to the floor. Joey thinks Sabu was taking it personally that Rock is using tables, because that's his move. Like Frank Costanza, all pissed off. Mikey beats on Rock with a chair, but Grunge comes over. They use the bats to turn the tide. Cactus makes a save. They brawl into the plunder. Jack suplexes Rock on a table, hits an elbow off the nest to a huge pop. They all get back to ringside and into the ring. Mikey blocks a sunset flip for 2. Grunge gets a near fall. Grunge then grabs the bat, heads up top, and clotheslines Mikey with it for the win and the titles. So Public Enemy celebrate their big win as Cactus chicks on Mikey, now former tag team champs. This was fun once it got going. A little slow early on. Lots of hard shots. They worked the gimmick cleanly, clearly, and smoothly. It could have been confusing, but they kept it basic and understandable. It was easy to follow. Didn't get convoluted. The table spots are great, especially Cactus's. Public Enemy's back on top, but this is a good story. To put over Cactus, elevate Mikey again, and everything was pretty well executed. The Sabu stuff was a little wonky. We'll see how that plays out, like him being offended by them using tables or whatever. But we'll see if that how that evolves. So I went 3 stars, Jenny, on this one.
I did 3 stars as well. Yeah, I could have done without the Sabu and 911 nonsense because, like you said, once they got going, it was good. But that stalling and shit in the beginning was like, okay, get to the point here. And poor Mikey, you knew he was gonna be the one to lose the 10 count to introduce the bats. And I thought they could have used the bats a little bit more because they kind of. They get away from the ring and do the table. I'm fine with those table spots. Those were awesome. 2 tables stacked on top of each other. Have they ever done that with the guy in between the tables? Has that ever been a thing? Because somebody should try that. Maybe
like
on
a table sandwich.
NXT.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it's been done.
Okay, I would like to see that. If anybody knows, send me that clip. Yeah, I didn't expect Cactus and Mikey to win. You know, I basically figured Public Enemy would get their belts back. So it was good. Lived up to the hype.
Yeah, the great unique spots with Cactus using Mikey as a weapon, just throwing him back. Love that. And also love the Cactus getting hit with the powder and DDT and Mikey, and that causes the 10 count.
Yeah,
that was unique too. And Jenny, I had the same note about the bats. We see it all the time when they get the bats. Although when Rocco first got it, he took that one good swing, like a regular baseball player. But then after that, you see it all the time. They hardly use the bat like it should be used, like a regular baseball player. They like poke at it, they poke and they prod at it. They don't get the full use. Kind of like your PIC's god, Triple H, with the sledgehammer. He just uses the butt end and rarely uses the
meat of it, part
of the
barrel.
Weapon. Yeah.
I would imagine it would be hard to
fake that. Yeah.
Yeah, to fake it.
Of course.
Yeah. Right. I mean, if you're using real bats, you can only go so hard with them, right?
Yeah.
So,
I still wouldn't want to get hit with the other end of the bat either. Still looks pretty brutal, but they just could have done
that. I still have a bruise on my shin from getting hit with a little wooden bat. Never mind.
Alex's first double.
Felix.
What did you guys think? Jen, you kind of mentioned, but John, do you think it was time to take the belts off Mikey and Cactus yet? Or?
Yeah, that seems to be Mikey's role. Mikey's not gonna have any long runs. He's just gonna be like a fluke champion. Yeah. And as we see, he gets dismissed quickly in the aftermath.
I think the announcer
for the next show. Yeah,
each run has kind of established him a little bit more though than the fluke, right? Like
the
TV title, he had a couple little defenses where he was his own guy, and then here he saves Cactus. Like we've seen a little bit more out of him each time around, so we'll see if he matures even more from being with Cactus in this run.
He gets these great moments and then mostly ass beatings.
Yep, but he's become, I mean, think of how far he's come since we started watching this, right?
I'm so proud of him.
He was basically just a jobber when we started with guys like who are the other bums that we've seen that he was with? The we haven't seen twins in a while, the Sharers.
Oh yeah, the alleged twins,
right? You know, so he was always bumming around with them. And JT Smith is even above him for a while, but Damian Stone, like, you know, guys like that, he was down on their level. And now, you know, he's just like part of the roster, so he's coming along.
Freaking tagging with Cactus Jack. Fuck, man. Made it.
Commissioner Gordon hits the ring. He runs down the card 2 weeks for tonight. Cactus Jack interrupts him, says Public Enemy's not through yet. He'll see him on November 19th, and he won't be alone. He's doing something he doesn't want to do, but he will be back with his former WCW tag team partner, Kevin Sullivan.
Woohoo!
Of course, former ECW star as well, but him and Cactus were champions in WCW earlier in 94, and they'll challenge Public Enemy for the title. So, Jenny, I'm sure you popped for that one.
I did.
Sully.
I don't know if I believe that Kevin's going to show up, but sure. Right. It was fun to think about.
I'm more a fan of Sully Banger than Kevin
Sully.
Sully!
All right, it is main event time, officially on paper, as Chris Benoit takes on Sabu in yet another, I'd say, low-level dream match here that ECW is rolling out. Should be a battle. Benoit's laser focus. Sabu comes in, goes right at the legs. Benoit dodges and knees him down and then hangs him across the top rope. Joey reminds us that Sabu's got broken ribs. Benoit grabs Sabu, and I don't know how to really explain it, but basically, like, hooks under his arm, but also then holds him at his knee. And just throws him in the air, like with this crazy release suplex. Sabu rotates, but doesn't get all the way around and lands on top of his head and rolls to the floor. So his neck basically just like compresses and bends. And his body is in like an arc, basically. And he rolls to the floor. Joey Styles immediately is like, oh, fuck. He's like, that was not good. Paul Lee comes out. He's checking on Sabu. Benoit's stalking around the ring. 911 is down too. He's checking on Sabu. He gets in the ring, and Benoit bails out. He's like, I didn't sign on to fight this fucking guy. We get more stalling as Benoit's stalking around. 911 is standing in front of him. Paramedics come out. Benoit's trying to vamp, and he's the last guy you want out there to fill time. He's not exactly a comedian.
Mic,
You know, think of all the guys in the world to be out there.
He's not a stick man.
No, you know, it's not like fucking The Rock is out there killing time. So then we do get more teases with 911. And I know it's stalling on the fly, but it made Benoit look like a real pussy. Like, mm-hmm. he goes, he's been murdering guys, and now, no,
yeah.
I mean, probably the wrong words there, but he's really been laying into guys. But he, then he kind of just looks like a pussy here because he's like hiding for 911. And again, I'm not going to criticize it too hard. They're on the fly. They're trying to figure it out. I'm sure he's worried about Sabu. 911 ties up with the ref. Benoit attacks him from behind. He hammers away. 911 shrugs it off. He chokeslams Benoit for three to booze. Which I don't think we really needed in all this. The way they've been booking Benoit. Lots of confusion. 911 hits a second chokeslam. Public Enemy comes out. They got bats. They attack 911. Paulie comes in. He gets beaten up too. Cactus comes out. 911 hits a double chokeslam on Paulie as the locker room empties. We get a big jobber brawl. Taz's flannel shirt is tucked into his sweatpants, which was quite the look. I'll give him a pass thinking he was in the middle of changing and they called him out there. We get all sorts. Oh, yeah, go, John.
No, I was just saying, what a look.
I don't think he had shoes. He had like one. Did he have like one shoe on? Down. He was a fucking mess coming out there. All sorts of chaos. People are brawling. Sabu's getting checked out. Taz beats the shit out of Public Enemy with the bat. We clear things out. Benoit's alone. Joey says he won the death match. Benoit grabs a mic, talks more shit on Sabu. Public Enemy come out. They're celebrating. And this was just terrible. I felt so bad for Sabu. This bad injury cost us a great match. They did their best to cover for it. And the fans, I think the fans were good here too. Like, they really figured out what was going on, that things weren't right. So they don't get on the case too much. Like, they're not like pissed. Really a rough ending, what we thought was an ending for what's been an up and down show. So I didn't obviously give this a grade. There's no grade to it. But before we get to what happens from here, why don't you guys talk about to this point, John?
Well, you can't grade this. You just wonder what happened in the back. Paulie going that panic, and everybody's like in different stages of dress and undress. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Paulie's at ringside. Like, he's not even back there.
Either Gordon or whoever got the word saying,
shots.
Yeah, Sabu's out. Everybody just go out there and improvise. You can't blame them for what they made the best of what they had.
And it's interesting timing too, because of everything with Sabu. Remember the Paulie Dynasty promo? I can't remember if it was last episode or one of the most recent ones, where he talked about like how at any moment he could crash and burn. This could be it for him. Like, that was the whole talking point, right? Like, basically he could die with these. He had Benoit and then what did he get? Cactus, right? Back to back. So that was the whole promo. And then it's almost like they planned it. It was so weird that he basically comes out here and now his neck gets broken.
Oh, it was so sick. Oh, it looked awful. Yeah, I mean, Benoit did look kind of ridiculous trying to run away from 911. And then his chokeslams got booed.
Yeah.
I mean, what the shit? He usually gets, you know, people are usually into that. Whatever.
Well, I think they were starting to realize that we're not going to get this big, great match now. Like, I think it was just frustration from them. Like, all right, if we're getting to this point, then we're not getting anything else. So I think they were battling, like, expectations, frustration, but also trying to be understanding, you know?
Mm-hmm. Everybody was on their feet, you know? There's a cop, and shit looked serious.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't just stop, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like nobody knew what to do. Like, do they call it or what? And then all of a sudden you get this impromptu other match.
Show must go on, right?
I mean, that's
the way it was here.
I'm thinking they realized he wasn't, like, life-threateningly hurt out there, or else they probably mm-hmm. would have maybe called it. He must have been at least awake and like talking. I mean, like they must have known, like, okay, he's hurt, but like not bad enough where we have to really end the show without sending the fans home with something. So out comes Too Cold Scorpio, grabs a chair, said, "Let's finish our deal, motherfucker." Public Enemy jumps Scorpio and then leave as Benoit gets to work, wrecks him with a nasty powerbomb for two. And of course, throwback, we've seen this before, but also at Super mm-hmm. Bowl III in WCW in 1993. Benoit has a snap suplex and slugs away. Scorpio comes back with a jumping super kick. Benoit bails to the locker room. Public Enemy comes in. Scorpio works them over. Benoit comes back, cuts Scorpio down with a hard back elbow and hits a perfect top rope superplex for a near fall to a pop. Benoit tries for a super back suplex, but Scorpio turns the momentum, falls on top for two. Scorpio hits a double underhook throw for two, gets a super sunset flip for a near fall. Benoit chucks Scorpio outside, whips him hard to the railing, and then hits him with a piece of the table. Benoit rolls in as the bell rings, but we learn that both men were counted out. So this, I mean, honestly, I think this is just like to get the fans something before so they didn't leave on an awful note. Just time filler to make good. Scorpio chases off Benoit the chair and stands tall with Cactus, Bad Breed, and JT Smith. Scorpio talks some shit on the mic. Cactus gets the mic and sends some words of concern to Sabu. And good on them, John. Like you said, they pieced this all together on the fly, delivering a pretty good little match, too, out of it. Both guys look good. They took one for the team with a bunch of high spots woven in, keeping the crowd happy. They didn't just come out there and half-ass it. Good on Benoit to pull this off. I'm sure he was worried about what he did to Sabu, but he still kind of kept focus. Rough ending to an up-and-down show. It was higher on moments and importance than action, which is fine. That's kind of what they are. I went 2.5 for this, and that was just purely on them for what they did going out there and having this match under these circumstances and still putting it on for the fans.
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. They did a really good job at just, kind of making it more of a Scorpio match that I would like to see as versus what he did earlier with Mr. Hughes. So they made it competitive and fun in a weird situation. So I gave it 2.5 as well.
Yeah. Also, the fans were sympathetic. They,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
They knew that that couldn't be helped, and they still encouraged them for what they did, and they made it something.
All right, let's wrap things up with our awards as always. Let's go with best match. I went with Cactus and Mikey versus Public Enemy.
I had that, but then I think I'm going Dreamer.
Yes, yeah. I'm going Cairo Dreamer.
Yeah.
All right. Worst match, I went with the opener, JT Smith and the Hacker.
Pit Bulls, please.
John,
I'm sorry. I don't want to do it, but I have to agree with the.
All right, best moment. I had a few best moments. I went with more than a few. Actually, it was a show loaded with moments. I went
right.
with the Sandman retirement ceremony, the whole thing.
Yes.
Douglas's promo. Sabu throwing rock through the tables was a great bump. The Cactus Nest elbow was great, and then of course Sabu's neck is one of the most memorable ECW moments, for better or worse. Anything I missed there?
No.
Well, the specific Sandman saying, "I don't care how fat
Peaches
yeah. has got." That's
He's
number
eating
one.
Her all the way to the pit.
Amazing.
Most 90s, that's one of Scorpio's multicolored satin jacket.
I had that one too, and also Sandman's suit.
Yeah, Scorpio's post-match woot, there it is.
I hope you're tracking these rap clips now, John. This is your on you. This is your job for the show.
Oh, boy.
You're right.
All right, stock rising. A litany here. Hughes, Cairo, Dreamer, Sandman, Woman, and Public Enemy.
I would agree with that. Sandman, too cold, I would add to that.
Yeah, I think you got everybody.
All right, in stock falling, I went Bad Breed, Simmons, and poor Peaches.
I went Pit Bulls and sadly Joey.
Yeah, not Joey's best night.
Nope.
Yeah, he didn't have too many one-liners tonight.
I feel bad for Peaches because of just how they've treated, like, what she is. Like, she's just an object to them. she's barely a person in this whole angle. All right, final grade. This is kind of my go-to grade for these kinds of shows, but it was entertaining. It was a good 2 hours, but we didn't really get that one classic match. And Benoit Sabu was probably pegged to be it. It just doesn't happen. But it is loaded with a lot of moments. So I went 6.5 out of 10.
I was feeling generous like you. I would maybe like one more better quality match on there and it would have got higher. But I think 7 out of 10 feels all right.
Yeah, I'm going to go on the lower end 6, specifically because the title match of Simmons and Shane under-delivered. Mm-hmm. But it's great. But Dreamer and Cairo and the whole Sandman thing were great. And the main event, couldn't really be helped. But unfortunately, it brings it brings it down to a 6er.
All right. So that was a fun one. Always good to get to see the supercards. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with the rest, almost the rest of November. We'll do 3 November episodes, November 8th, 15th, and 22nd, with all the fallout for November to remember. And it'll be exciting to see how things play out, because you know Sandman and Tommy now is really going to ramp up, because Tommy's not going to be happy.
Yes.
With everything that went down. We'll get the update on Sabu, where things are with him and his neck, and other pieces of business. So, Jenny, anything you want to talk about before we go?
I just want to mention an episode of Looking Forward, Looking Back on the Pop Feed, where we looked at the past movie season, like all the winter movies and stuff. Talked about those. And also, You can find me on Twitter at Jenny Position or my Facebook page, The Jenny Position.
Johnny?
All right. We got the Old Cast 1980. Should be dropping this week.
Okay, very good. And a big week here for the you get this show. We have a brand new Body Press Your Luck coming in its usual Friday night time slot. Two brand new challengers for Ryan Everett. One's a pretty well known guy here in Place to Be Nation, so we'll see if he can take down the champ. And then there's rumors of the return of a much beloved podcast potentially next weekend. So I don't like to guarantee that one because it's fleeting at best. But there's rumors swirling of its return.
Hope it's not breaking balls.
No. there's a jalopy parked outside, so it could be it. You never know. You never know. But anyway, that's the word on the street. We'll see if it comes through. That's it then. Otherwise, so we'll talk to everyone in 2 weeks' time with those episodes. Until then, everyone stay extreme, stay hardcore, and protect your sack.
There it is.
Bang in the head and we do it to death. Reach for them back, wood and the volleyball. You know we're making an ounce. I know you love the way we be giving you the music, making you bounce. Stop just a little for my sister every time we come through. Just know that we did it for y'all. And the way we do it for the people that know that we always give it to y'all. I said bounce. Come on. In the daytime or the night when you keep on the low and just bang this in the truck while you break your nigga motherfucker. Gotta fake my flow. See the way we come right through. When we come right through, we be always blowing the spot again and again and make it just really wanna stop. Better tell your crew, your peeps, somebody better put their troops on and gather up your soldiers. You know you better keep your boots on. Put my people in the place. Ayo, wave your hands high now. And the way we put it down, make us wonder what he really gonna try now. What you really wanna do? Just place your bet and put your money where your mouth is. On my sister in the street, just break your neck and keep on bouncing.
Just let me give you real speech to grab in your sh. We grab your seat, we want this heat. Keep bouncing up. I'll be shutting it down the way we put it on. Coming through like a steamroller. Me and Drex ain't no effing around. Come on. Yeah, what up? Me and my team got a link, cause you know we stay chopping it up. And when we get up in the club, on, I'm up over to the bar, now we knocking it up. And we get a little high, and we get a little drunk, and we get a little drunk. Let me get you some shit that make you wanna bang this out your trunk. Come on. Get money, get cash, that check for me. All my sisters, bust your check for me. Everybody from every hood, bang your head till you break your mother's neck for me. Just let me give you real speech to grab in your sh. We grab your seat, we want this heat. Keep bouncing up and down.